Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Good Wednesday morning. You know, Key says I like the numbers so much. So, Key, here's some for you right off the start. Beautiful orange-yellow hue this morning over the Brooklyn Bridge. James Harden gave the Rockets. Key stepping back like hard. You didn't kick the leg out, though, with 2 seconds to go on the shot clock and kick me in the face.
I just like, when I watch highlights, I get hyped. Because, you know, even though I know what he is and how great he is, but when you see it, like when you see stuff, like when you go back and you watch a Kobe or you watch Michael Jordan, it's like you forget. And then when you see something, it's like, damn. And it's just watching Harden in the Houston uniform, not Harden in the Dunkin' Donuts Houston uniform, but when he was a different Harden for those 9 games that he played this year or last year. You look at him, man, and his skill set. It's just like crazy.
Here's what's crazy about you. How tall are you?
6'4".
How much you weigh?
Don't worry about all that.
No. Okay. All right.
I'm chewing some change.
Okay. He's 6'5", 220.
Yeah.
So he's a little bit taller than you moving like that. It's not like you see guards move like that. You're like, okay, cool. Like, what's Kyrie, 6'2"? You know, what's Russell, 6'3", 6'4"? Like, maybe, like, this dude's 6'5", man, moving like that. Like, that's a big body hitting you every single time.
No, it ain't. It's just I don't know. He's just smooth with it.
Yeah, smooth, yeah.
It's smooth with it, and he just, like, fluid. No matter what, you can't do anything. Like, it's like, oh, goodness. Buckets.
So let's set the scene. The numbers I was going to mention, he gave the Rockets 3 scoring titles. He took him to the Western Conference Finals twice, and, of course, one big divorce. But they're getting back together tonight. Nets. Rockets in Houston. Harden's return, ESPN, 7:30 Eastern, part of a double dip. Golden State, Portland will follow that. A win, the Nets will go to the All-Star break at 24-13, winners of 10 of their last 11. If you're wondering, James Harden here, real quick, in 10 seconds, getting it out pretty quick. He just wanted to make sure people knew on the reaction he hopes to get this evening.
I hope I'm received with love. The love and the appreciation that I've given to that city, and that I still give to that city. Hoping that the favor can be returned.
And speaking of return, he is returning, and he's returning a hero in a couple of different ways, and that's where I want to start with you this morning. His 13 restaurant, of course, named after his jersey, has helped out. They provided a ton of meals and some water after the Texas deep freeze. So even though he's left, he's returned. He's still trying to do some things in the community. But, Jay, I'll start with you here. Tillman Fertitta, the Rockets owner, made some waves yesterday when he came out and said eventually the franchise, despite all the acrimony, is going to retire James Harden's jersey. Probably going to happen a little bit later this season. Timing seems interesting. Nets on fire. Tillman's Rockets have lost 12 in a row.
There was that one time when the Rockets, I think, won 6 in a row. Everybody's like, oh, look, they're better without James Harden. You're like, calm down. Let's calm down for a second. I do not want fans to boo James Harden tonight. I don't want it to happen. A lot of people say, well, the way he forced his way out was just non-professional. And let's go back and let's provide a little history on how we even got to this point. A guy who, since he's been there, Key, has taken him to the playoffs every single year.
Yeah.
Every single year. His first year averaging 25 points per game. I mean, we won't even get into the things he's done for the community, but this past year when he decided to leave, okay, the GM that made the trade for him to come from OKC, he all of a sudden decided to step down, quote unquote, which means you know what that means. He was pushed out.
Daryl Morey pushed out.
Your head coach, Mike D'Antoni, that created the style in which you play, that you had a great bond with, they didn't give him extension. All of a sudden, he's gone. Russell Westbrook, all of a sudden, that relationship, that festers, rumors from the media, they don't get along. But now they're moving him, and they're making all these changes without consulting James Harden, the guy that they're building the whole franchise on. Right. So now all of a sudden he wants to leave and he goes to Brooklyn where he's part of a team with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving where they're winning. He's given his franchise everything he could, Key. I want him to get the praise that he deserves when he comes back home to a city that he's always put on. Just Tillman Fertitta and company decided to make all these changes. And that's the way Tillman Fertitta is pretty much saying, hey, look, we made mistakes, but we love you, James. That's why we're announcing that we're actually going to retire your jersey.
If they boo him, they boo him, though. That's just a sign of respect as far as I'm concerned. You boo him. Boo. Boo. Whatever it is, that's just a sign of respect. I don't think that they will, though. Because if you have any sense and you understand anything about professional sports, much like you just went through a timeline, Jay Will, there's the timeline that's right there. So you understand why he decided to leave Houston. So you really shouldn't be mad at it because you have to put yourself in his shoes. I know, you know, you look at it and you think he turned down our city, our state. He doesn't want to play for us anymore. It's not that. It's that he wants to move on from an organization that, quite frankly, didn't figure it out. They had an opportunity. What were they, one game away from beating the Golden State Warriors?
Yeah, they're up 3-1.
And so ever since then, it's kind of been downhill for him. And now as a professional athlete, you want to hit the reset button and you decide that going to Brooklyn gives you a better opportunity for that ultimate goal at the end of the day, which is to win a championship.
And come on, man, you're trying to win a chip, Key. You just said it. You're trying to win a chip. You're going to bring in the first-year head coach when I'm trying to win a chip, and I've been here. I've been so close so many times. You're just going to give me a new GM, even though Raphael Stone has been in the building. Guy I had no say over who was going to be involved. Or not, I needed a say. We talk about this with Deshaun Watson. Just hear my voice. Just hear my opinion. I'm not saying you need to listen to it. Factor it into the equation, or at least act like you're doing.
Well, yeah, and even if you look at it from the standpoint of James Harden or from the standpoint of Houston, if you are interviewing certain guys, you always want your star players to have some sort of participation. It doesn't mean that you have to have them sign off on the hire, but at least communicate with them so that they know what's going on, that they're not blindsided, Zubin, and all of a sudden they say to themselves, well, you brought this dude in the building. I may not even have a relationship with him, and you're going to try to force me to have a relationship with him, when you could have simply hired Van Gundy, or maybe that would have helped mm-hmm. you keep Harden, but for whatever reason, you couldn't get that deal done.
And don't get it twisted. P.J. Tucker does not want to be there. He does not want to be in Houston. And it's funny, with the Brooklyn Nets coming in town, it's you think about all the best fits for P.J. Tucker and what team he would want to go to. He's going to want to go to Brooklyn.
But it's sweet, though, that they're going to retire his jersey at some point. I mean, he's done a lot for them. I know he didn't bring him a title, but he's got to be – what do you got? You got Clyde Drexler. You got, obviously, the Dream.
Yep.
Dream, Olajuwon.
Yep.
Who else?
I got the others. Go ahead.
Give me one.
Yeah. Calvin Murphy.
I was about to say Calvin Murphy. I was going to say Calvin Murphy.
Fo, but with a different team. Moses Malone.
Yeah, Moses Malone.
Rudy Tomjanovich.
Yeah.
Clyde Drexler, you said. Yao Ming, of course.
Oh, Yao Ming.
And the initials of longtime assistant coach and executive Carol Dawson. A lot of times, obviously, he doesn't have a number, so they retired CD. And obviously, JH will join soon. That's your entire list of Rockets
coaches. How long did Moses play in Houston? How long was that?
Well, I'll find
out.
It was maybe 4 years.
I'm not a historian all the time of the game.
4 years, I think.
I think
it was 4 years in Houston.
Well, four would be appropriate with him.
Right? Yeah. Four.
but you look at some of the great basketball players that played for the Rockets, you have to put James Harden in there. So, yeah, of course you know.
Him and AI are the most innovational one-on-one players in the history of the game. They changed the game.
Sorry, 6 years in Houston.
Six.
Just wanted to throw
two
it
off.
6 years in Houston. On the way. So that'll be a reunion tonight. Again, ESPN, Nets and the Rockets, 7:30 Eastern, Blazers and the Warriors to follow. On the way, he's coaching tonight. It's maybe the game of the night in college basketball. He's got a top 15 team. Everything is rolling. They're making the tournament selection Sunday, less than 2 weeks away. But this coach and this team have a huge problem. That's on the way after one of the fellas has this from Granger.
Well, I'm going to try to figure out how to operate Jay's computer real quick as soon as he gets over here.
Go ahead. Start reading.
I got it under control. For all the ones who get it done, Granger is always there to help. Granger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and experienced staff at over 250 local branches, plus their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people even safer. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop by.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What do you think? Pretty nice
pretty
morning.
Nice, man. That looks great. That's what New York is all about. Like that. It's such a famous, iconic bridge that you know it when you see it.
Brooklyn Bridge, baby.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Not the sponsorship, just the word, although we do love the sponsor of Indeed. I don't think you fellas are going to love this next story. It's getting a lot of traction here for all of the wrong reasons. Here we go. Let's just take a deep breath and do it. Big college basketball slate tonight. Not as big as last night, but tonight there is a top 15 matchup between Creighton and Villanova. Creighton's head coach Greg McDermott has done, by all measure, a great job since taking over the Blue Jays. His son was one of the all-time great players of the last 25 years and played for his dad at Creighton. Greg McDermott has a sterling reputation, but it may be taking a little bit of a turn. Selection Sunday is less than 2 weeks away, and Creighton is certainly going to be in the field. But this morning, he is fielding some questions about some comments that he made. This is essentially what he said following a loss to Xavier last Saturday. This is McDermott telling the team, quote, "Guys, we got to stick together. We need both feet in. I need everybody to stay on the plantation. I can't have anybody leave the plantation." McDermott did say he, quote, immediately after saying those words, immediately recognized my egregious mistake and quickly addressed my use of such insensitive words with my team. The university put out a statement saying that their basketball coach used a term that was, quote, deplorable. And if you're wondering, for one member of the team, not a player, but one member of the team, Terrence Rencher, who is a black assistant coach, said he was, quote, deeply hurt by McDermott's word. So that is the situation as they prepare for a huge game tonight. But I would imagine, Jay, not a lot of focus tonight on the game, but on these comments that prior to, in my opinion, yesterday, he had a great reputation.
Great reputation. I've known Greg McDermott for a very long time. I've had nothing but respect for him. I reached out to him as soon as I saw the comments because I wanted to hear his side of the story. I thought our relationship deserved that. But I'm severely disappointed, and I'm just going to give you guys my real reaction in real time, Key. So I see the comment, I'm reading it, and I'm thinking to myself, I've never heard an analogy like that before. Never in my life. You know, keep both feet on the plantation. I've heard get off the reservation, even to that degree. That's troubling, right, in this climate that we live in. And when I heard that, I was like, man. And I start thinking about, you know, Denzel Mahoney, Damian Jefferson, Christian Bishop. These are guys that are top players on their team that are African-American players, right? And so I started reaching out to people. I'm going to tell you guys, from one of my sources inside, I heard that some of the players want to boycott. Wow. They're not sure they want to play. Mm-hmm. They just don't know how to go about it. Mm-hmm. And it puts them in a very uncomfortable situation to now – make these type of decisions. And I know we live in a cancel culture world. I think that goes too far sometimes. I don't know what to do here, Key, because like I would be beside myself on something like this. If he doesn't have this long history of doing good things, I think that when something like this happens, I'm like, okay, you said something like this before. In order for you to reference this analogy, it just doesn't come out of thin air, does it? I don't know. There has to be some kind of history of you saying something like this. I'm at loss for words for this story. I'm angry. I've lost respect, but I do respect him at the same time. I don't know how to handle this for Greg McDermott. I don't.
You look at it and you just said that you don't know how to handle it. No, you know how to handle it. You just don't want to handle it the way you want to. Because you have had respect for him because you covered college basketball and you've been knowing him for a very long time. But it's unacceptable, as you
agreed.
Know.
Yes, agreed. I agree.
There's certain things. It has nothing to do with cancer culture. It has something to do with understanding, and he didn't understand what he was doing. He didn't understand at that moment. He understood the word. He knows what the word is. He's used it before, but he didn't understand that the reaction was going to be the way that it is, especially from his assistant coaches. We go through this every single year. We go through it every year with somebody on a coaching staff or somebody in the facility that says something that they've said with their friends before. You use the word plantation. You know what the plantation was. You clearly do. And you treat your program and you look at the individuals in the program like they on a damn plantation. That's why you said it. That's why you said it. That's when you think back to the late Bob McNair, the owner of Houston, Texas, when he said what he said about the inmates running the asylum. He's used that before. Mm-hmm. That's not an excuse. It's not an excuse. And I've had this conversation with both of you when we had our conversations, when we have our conversations off air, prior to this even coming to surface or even at all, months and Sundays ago, we was talking and I told y'all once upon a time when I was a player in the National Football League and I'm sitting down watching film in our film room with our offensive team and our coach referred to a player who happened to be a black player as an aggressive gorilla. And I walked up and I left. Have I not told y'all that story?
You did.
Many times?
Yeah.
Over?
Mm-hmm.
Because you've used that before. You used that before. And so it's like, you know, if they get rid of him, get rid of him. If he resign, resign. Yeah. I really don't care. I can't respect him. And every time that I see him, if I ever see him, I'm going to look at him sideways and different.
Greg McDermott is a great coach. I'm not sure in today's climate you can bounce back from something like this, especially if I think you can in time, but if the players decide to boycott, if they decide to draw a line in the sand, which I'm okay with them drawing a line in the sand if that's how they feel.
Absolutely.
I'm fine with that.
Absolutely.
I don't know if Greg McDermott bounces back from that at Creighton. Maybe somewhere else in time. I'm not sure at Creighton if the players decide to do that.
But I don't even want to play for people like that.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't even want to play for that.
It hurts the optics of your university by keeping a guy like that on board even as you move forward. Because it will, you know how this world is recruiting, Key? People try to use everything against you.
Oh, it's over, though.
Everything against you.
Why would you want to go play for him?
And by the way, there's going to be so many alternatives over the next couple of days that are going to pan out about optionality for kids and what they want to do. You need your best selling points to bring top-tier talent to the university like that. And
it's not
going to be good for them moving forward.
It's not an easy cleanup.
It's not.
It's not a slip of the tongue. It's comfort. It's I'm comfortable getting up here and speaking to my team this way because I've done this somewhere in my life before and probably multiple times.
Last couple things here to follow up on your slip of the tongue comment. We mentioned this during the break.
Man.
John Beilein had his one-half-year disastrous run with the Cleveland Cavs. The whole situation came to a head when, during a film session, he accidentally, in his words, called the fellas because of their lack of effort on the floor. He wanted to say, you guys are moving around like slugs. And he accidentally said, you're moving around like thugs. But to Key's point, I could see that being a slip of the tongue. This is not that.
He's called people thugs before.
I understand, but I'm just saying if you give the benefit of the doubt and he literally just slipped one letter, there is something. Last couple things I would say, McDermott is now in his 20th year as a head coach. Man. He spent more than half that time in Creighton. And one thing people don't understand, because there's not a lot of fans right now, Jay knows this as well as anybody, this is very underrated. Creighton almost always leads America in attendance. They have a 20,000-seat arena, 20,000. They have an NBA-size arena in Omaha, Nebraska that they fill to the gills every single year when there are fans. So when fans do come back, this is going to be something because this program is supported like few are in America.
And if you're in Omaha, Nebraska, you can't allow this. You can't allow this. You can't allow it anywhere. But There, you can't.
Again, tonight, they'll take on Villanova. We'll see what Coach says post-game. I'm sure he'll be asked about it yet again. On the way, there has been plenty of talk about making Kobe Bryant the NBA logo. Kyrie Irving broached it. Vanessa Bryant endorsed it. But we've got a new twist on a shield. And that's after Jay has this from Straight Talk.
Whew. That was some straight talk. It's time for some straight talk. Your tax return could look different this year, but you're still going to hear a lot of noise about how to spend it. So when the big carriers tell you to splurge on the latest nonsense, you know what to do. Just tune it out. With Straight Talk, you can get a Samsung Galaxy A51 for just $199. Did you hear that? $199. Plus, get the $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plan with no contract on America's best networks for up to 50% less. Tune out the nonsense and tune into Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
You're going to see Key walking across the pool with a martini, just with olives, like, mm-hmm, just floating. Mm-mm.
No diving in Key's pools.
No, you can. You can dive in. You got to dive that, like that.
On an angle.
If I was 6'4".
45-degree angle.
6'4 guy should not dive into a 6-foot pool.
Well, you dive down, you're going to hit your head. But right. If you go outward, you're fine.
You just said you can't swim. Would you trust yourself in that scenario?
I can swim good enough to get from one side to the next. Now, the thing is, if I can't touch the bottom, no go.
So how the hell
be able to touch the bottom?
How the hell you be going on jet skis? You in the ocean?
But I got the life jacket on, the people around. So you feel okay? Yeah, I feel cool.
Man, a raft.
Man, I've been on vacation. Like I went to years ago. I went to Bora Bora, and I went underwater scuba diving. We got the helmet on, and you could walk, you know, and then you get all around the fishies and everything come around. But I got professional people that know what they're doing, so I feel safe. I'm not doing it by my damn self. No. Nope. Not going
to. Man,
no.
Can't swim, but he's trying to go scuba diving. I can't. It's but only I'm with this is a keyism.
I'm with professional people that I trust. I got the oxygen coming into the helmet, and I'm good. I feel good. I think it's like about 15 feet down into the ocean, and I got dudes that's been doing this. This is what they're trained to do. So I feel good. I'm okay. I'm fine.
I can't with you.
I'm not getting into an Olympic-sized pool or nothing like that. No. No, not at all. Jacuzzi or nothing.
You can sit there. You don't have to make sure.
Look, man, when we go on vacation, you don't have to worry about me looking for the deep end of the pool. Don't even worry about
Zubin,
it.
Zubin, are you a jacuzzi guy?
Kiddie pool.
Do you like the jacuzzis, Zubin?
No, I do like to swim, though.
Okay.
It's an unbelievable foot, because that's the one thing
like the ocean like that, though.
Wait, Key, I'm asking Zubin a question.
Well, here's the thing.
You like to swim?
During the pandemic, that's one of the places that people wanted to stay away from the most, right? Because public pools and all of that, especially in the summer, you got to remember the pandemic started in March, April, May, June, July, and it's hot all over the country and people want to go into pools. It's something that you've been doing for years and years, whether it's your community pool, rec center, and that was one of the very first things they said absolutely, positively stay away from.
But you went there.
But when I went, like when I do most things, nobody else does them.
Yeah.
Right? Nobody else does them.
That's right.
So you've got the socially distant in the pool.
Key, what color floaties you want? I'm gonna give them to you.
Man, I'm not wearing a floaty.
Why not? You secure with yourself?
No, I'm not wearing a floaty.
When the Nets win the world championship, I'm gonna bring some floaties in for you.
I don't need floaties because I'm not going into again before we move on.
I just want you to wear them walking around the South Street Seaport.
If I'm going in a pool, I'm going to touch the bottom. Otherwise, I'm holding on to the side as I get to the deep end. And come back down.
Why you ain't get to the toes? Go ahead, Zubin. Sorry.
Lifeguard. Always lifeguard on duty.
Always lifeguard.
Got to be on duty. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. There are some people that think the right thing to do right now with regards to duty and the way that Kobe Bryant is going to be remembered here just a year after his passing would be, and this was broached by Kyrie Irving and endorsed by his widow, Vanessa Bryant, to possibly change the NBA logo from Jerry West, who probably was important, as important to anybody as Kobe's career. If you talk about it, there's been a lot of talk about swapping in and swapping out, but you think about the relationship that Jerry West had with Kobe Bryant, it takes it to another level, I would say. So there's been some talk about maybe Kobe replacing the quote-unquote logo as the NBA logo. So we decided to put a spin on it because while the NBA obviously is huge and this is a big issue, there's nothing bigger in the country than the NFL. So we thought it's a little spin on it. If the NFL decided to use a player as their logo instead of the shield, a la if they went Jerry West, picked a player in their 101-year history, the question is, who would that player be? And one of the first responses we got, guys, help me figure this one out. Josh Napier is going with Gretzky.
A what?
Yes, NHL. We're asking NFL. But in Josh's defense, indeed, if it was NHL, it would be Gretzky.
It's early for Josh. Yeah, he's probably coming back.
And clearly, he hasn't really watched our show or listened to our show much because he would know that we talk about the NHL about 5 minutes a year. So, and that's only when I deal with it in the playoffs.
Right. Let's run through some of the ones that are, you know, fun, facetious, serious. Tim put three out there. Jim Brown, Walter Payton, Tom Brady. Dave, this would be a funny, the hair flowing logo, Troy Polamalu. Yeah. Like a different logo.
The hair logo.
Randy, Vince Lombardi. I mean, the Lombardi Trophy is named after him. That's what everybody's going for. Chef Kev, frequent contributor. Walter, Jerry, Payton. I would assume that would be Walter Payton, Jerry Rice, and Walter Payton again. Todd Adams, 83. Barry Sanders. That would be cool. Maybe a little sweet feet on the logo. That would be kind of neat. Those are just some opportunities. MD Gray 3, John Riggins. Who do you guys think? Antonio wants to weigh in and say, by the way, the shield is just fine the way that it is.
Of course it is.
The shield.
It would be Jim Brown for me. I think everything that he embodied as a player, what he stood for in the social and just and early on now. We wasn't even thought of. All of those sort of things. And from an iconic standpoint, he's larger than life, man. Really, in the football world. I mean, Jim Brown, for us that didn't get a chance to see him play, it's kind of mind-boggling just who he is. Like, you mention Jim Brown and people just go, oh, man. And I'm talking about the older group of people that had seen him play. I remember working with Tom Jackson at ESPN, and Tom just used to tell me stories about Jim Brown being the baddest dude going. Not only on the field, man was in movies, man. Movie star. I mean, just everything around, it just makes sense. If you're going to do anybody, it's Jim Brown. I know the probably the majority of people is thinking Tom Brady because of the recency. Tom Brady. It's like, nah, man, Jim Brown.
I wish what was able to be done for Michael Jordan in The Last Dance could be done for Jim Brown so kids can see how special of a talent he was on and off the field. I'm sure there's been stuff done on him, but not to the degree like The Last Dance.
Yeah, it's probably some documentaries that's out there for sure because he's been a part of the NFL, you know, the NFL in sports world forever. I mean, for years, since the 60s. And even when he was at college at Syracuse and just everything that he was able to accomplish and do, Zubin. And you just talk about the gang reform in Los Angeles across the country that he was involved in, trying to get kids and mentoring people. Just a different – that's a different one, right, for a lot of people. I think a lot of people look at that – doesn't understand his career, don't know anything about him, and saying, he's too old, he's out, you know, he's out of touch with reality. No, man. No, he's not. Think about the summit, man. Think about that picture.
No, yeah.
Man, think about the iconic just Jim Brown. Jim Brown would be it.
Yeah, I'm with you on Jim Brown, but
part of one of the part of one of the longest running franchises in the Cleveland Browns. I mean, just make all the sense in the world to me.
I love Jim Brown. I think it's harder and harder to deny Tom Brady with the way that he's been winning at the clip that he just – I mean, and you can call it recency bias, fine. But him winning a championship with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the fact that he got drafted 199th, you know, to turn out to be one of the greatest players we've ever seen, if not the GOAT, the greatest player of all time, 7 Super Bowl championships. Zubin, it's Tom Brady's building this legacy at the quarterback position – how we're enamored with the quarterback position. I know you got that smirk in your face, Key. Tom Brady has to be in the conversation too.
Yeah, here's what I would say before we hit
told
the phone
you, Tom.
Lines.
I said Tom.
I know you said Tom.
I knew what everybody was going to say.
I know you're higher on Jim Brown. I like Jim Brown too.
They're going to count the rings. Mm-hmm. The rings.
Because that's how we measure champs. That's how we measure success in
Jerry West
the
is the logo. And Jerry West got one championship in how many years in LA?
But that's the old guard logo though. I still respect it though.
But we're talking about a logo.
Yeah.
But the reason we even having this conversation, Zubin, about the logo is because of Jerry West and because of Kobe Bryant. And so we switched it to football, and the first thing that everybody's going to start thinking about
is
Tom Brady because of the rings.
Right.
And so when you look at it, I don't think the rings matter to me, and I'm sure it doesn't matter to most people. It's how iconic this individual.
I think the rings matter a lot to a lot of people.
No, I'm talking about the logo, though. Does it really matter that he's got 7 rings, that he has to be the logo because of 7 rings?
I think it's more
Charles Haley got 5. Jerry Rice got X amount. Joe Montana. I mean, so when you look at it, I'm looking at the body of everything.
I just feel like, though, the way Tom Brady has gotten his rings, because nobody expected Tom Brady to be Tom Brady. It wasn't like Tom Brady coming out of Michigan was like the guy, or like on the cover of Sports Illustrated, like LeBron was the guy, or Kobe was the guy, right? To a degree. Tom was just Tom. I mean, you go back and you look at the video of him working out, you're like, that's the greatest player of all time in the NFL?
He would be a choice. I just think that it's Jim Brown. I never seen Jim Brown play live, obviously, because I wasn't around then. But I know a lot about the history of Jim Brown. And I never seen Jerry West play live. But I know a lot about the history of Jerry West. And so when I look at that, I think that, to me, deserves the logo versus the new age and where we're at now.
So here's what I would say real quick. Obviously, this is not a serious discussion, but I would hedge against Brady. I agree everything what Jay said. I would hedge against Brady just because he's so polarizing, and I think you need a unifying figure to be the logo of a league. I also think it's kind of weird that, like, Coach K and Bill Self are currently, like, in the Naismith Memorial Hall of Fame and they're coaching. I think if you do it, and I know this is a frivolous topic because it's not up for consideration, I do think I'd like to see somebody earn that honor after they're done. But here's the reason I would see Jim Brown. The one thing that football has always been built on, and by the way, to your point, Jim Brown played 9 seasons in the NFL. He last played in an NFL game in 1965. He played for the Browns from 1957 to 1965. To Key's point, nearly 50 years later, he's still a team ambassador. So that does say something. He stood the test of time. The one thing that the NFL has always been built on, but because of everything that's going on today in 2021 with concussions and CTE, the one thing the league has always been built on, whether it wants to hedge away from this just to a small degree, hockey doesn't want fights and NASCAR doesn't want you to focus on the crashes. The bottom line is people love the NFL because of the toughness and the violence in the sport. And Jim Brown is emblematic of the toughness more than any player in the league. Remember, they didn't have the foam in the helmets back then. They didn't have the green dot in the radio. They didn't have, you know, pads the way they do today. He played in an era where toughness was tough. I mean, let's be honest. If we brought back, you got jacked up. We brought that back, people would love it because the toughness is what people love about football. So he embodied that more than anybody. So
I want to check out that movie too, One Night in Miami, because I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
You should also check out The Dirty Dozen. He said he was a prolific actor. The Dirty Dozen, probably the most famous movie Jim Brown has ever
seen. It was fire though.
Yeah. Check that out.
Okay.
A lot of One Night in Miami give you a lot of history about everything, including Sam Cooke.
Indeed. COOKE, if you're looking it up, right? Get SportsCenter guy. Got to make sure. You look it up, Sam Cook, you got to put the E on the end. He's a legend. Okay, Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise.
Damn,
we'll take your calls throughout the rest of the morning. Key and I are on Jim Brown, and Jay is with Tom Brady.
I'm with Jim Brown. I'm just making the case for Tom Brady, right, too.
Hard to argue that one for sure. A little more NFL talk, modern day version. And we're going to do this couple teams a day until we run through all 32. I think if you're a Lions fan, I know. Can we stop talking about the worst case scenario? It's been like that for 30 years, but it does appear there could be some optimism on the horizon. Michael Rothstein covers the team every day for ESPN, and he joins us this morning on the Goodyear Hotline. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All right, Mike, right out of the gate, what is the best case scenario this offseason for the Detroit Lions?
Best case scenario is they figure out what they're going to be able to do at 7 by trading down. They get even more picks to help build for the future. They find out maybe through a virtual spring or training camp that Jared Goff can be more the quarterback that he was in 2017, 2018 in Los Angeles than he was the last two seasons. So they maybe have a solution there instead of a stopgap bridge. And they accelerate their rebuild because of that.
Yes, indeed. Some would say the best case scenario has already happened if indeed Goff turns out to be what they hope. What's the worst case scenario?
Well, I know you joked about 30 years. It's probably been about 60 since they've won one playoff game and have never been to a Super Bowl. So worst case scenario is Jared Goff, which it centers around that, ends up being kind of the quarterback he was last season. And they need to address quarterback either this year or next year. They don't really have a worst case scenario because they know they're in a rebuild. So I think everything centers around Goff. And, you know, the other worst case scenario is if one of the building blocks that they do have gets hurt in some sort of significant way. And you never obviously want to wish that on anybody. But that would, to me, be the worst case scenario. I don't think there's a win-loss worst case scenario for them this year because everybody understands what they're trying to do to finally build sustained success for the first time, probably since Wayne Fonts and Barry Sanders and Herman Moore.
Wow. How likely is it that the Lions draft a QB in the first round this year?
You know, listen, 2 months ago, I would have said probably likely, even if they still have Matthew Stafford on the roster. Now I think that they have some flexibility because of the unknown that is Jared Goff and the understanding that there is going to be this multi-year project. And I think right now, if you're looking at it, right, this is a quarterback heavy draft at the top. If you're at 7, do you want to take the 4th best quarterback on the board, the 5th best quarterback, if you're not in love with that quarterback? I don't think the Lions want to do that. They have holes everywhere on their roster, like literally every position except for punter. So basically, you don't necessarily have to do it. And I think the fact that they have extra first-round picks in 2022, 2023, you do have Jared Goff, and the fact that if they can trade back because maybe there is a team between 8 and 19 that loves a Trey Lance or a Mac Jones or a Justin Fields, if any of those three are there, that can offer them more flexibility. So I don't think they have to by any stretch of the imagination. I think that they can take the best player available, whether that's on offense or on defense, and be happy with that because they need help everywhere.
It's fair enough. Like you say, 60 years ago, Bobby Lane ain't walking through that door. Also before Key's time, legendary quarterback. Michael Rothstein, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Mike.
Hey, no problem. Anytime.
Okay, this team has a ton of holes to fill. We've mentioned it before. They have a new head coach. They have a new OC, Anthony Lynn. They have a new quarterback in Jared Goff. They have a new general manager in Brad Holmes. Even the voice at the top of the organization of the Ford family is changing a little bit. It's a complete, Van Gundy told us not to use this word, but it's a complete culture change now for the Detroit Lions.
Culture change, yeah.
Well, I would say that the way that they have done things in the offseason certainly says that they're going in a different direction, Zubin, right? And when you look at Jared Goff at the quarterback spot and kind of knowing Dan Campbell as an ex-teammate of mine and how he has grown up in the coaching world and who he was groomed by, they're going to run the football, they're going to bite a few kneecaps off, and they're going to play tough defense, and they're going to allow Jared Goff to throw the ball and not make any mistakes when he's doing it. Explosive plays. A recipe for success in the National Football League. Not 40 times in the air. None of that. I mean, you might see him do that if they're behind once or twice during the season. But this is a quarterback that'll be very efficient, and will not turn the ball over, something that he's been doing or he did in Los Angeles for a number of games, that they're going to take the ball out of his hands and rely on playing tough Detroit style, that Midwest football. Although it's not outdoors, it's indoors, but they're going to play that style.
I do not draft a quarterback if I'm the Detroit Lions. I get a starter or I trade down. I think you have to surround Jared Goff with some pieces. Their defense obviously needs pieces. Could that be Micah Parsons? He could be a guy that could be available at that position. Look, you have minimum 2 years with him. So I think Jared Goff, this team is on the right way. I think you need pieces to surround these guys.
Look, the general manager who was the head of college scouting, give me his name, Zubin.
Brad Holmes.
Brad Holmes, who was the head of college scouting for the Los Angeles Rams, St. Louis Rams, moving to L.A., became the Los Angeles Rams, has a track record of identifying the college prospects and drafting well when he was with the Rams. So I don't think that that's going to change. At least it should change the fact that he's taking his recipe to Detroit. Hmm. When you think about Aaron Donald, Jared Goff, who else? Cooper Kupp, Todd Gurley. You think about Everett and Reynolds. You just think about some of the key pieces. Key pieces over the Rams of the last several years. He was involved, heavily involved. You know, the way it works in scouting, he was the final check piece on the college sign-offs before the general manager and the head coach makes the decision. Mm. So his track record speaks for itself.
Jay brought up an interesting point with Micah Parsons. One thing you always have to think about, and we'll get into get closer to the draft, is like when guys opt out, you just sort of look at them a little bit differently. Like Caleb Farley, Micah Parsons, you just sort of wonder how you evaluate them in a year unlike any other. And that'll be interesting, especially for a guy like Holmes, to your point, who has brought so many great talented guys to the board. On the way, the one team that controls the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes, and it's not the Texans.